Thank you for joining our show
today. Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Wanda McKinley, and Stephanie Kennedy Alford is the co-host. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered women and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them with a new life with what is really considered normalcy by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help women and children who have walked or may be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What about yourself?
I'm doing good. Just watching this bad weather that's come into town. So tell us about some fundraising opportunities.
All right, I'd be happy to do that. We Are Survivors currently have several fundraisers that we are currently doing and need your support. Our first fundraiser is the Kroger Community Rewards Program. If you register your card online at Kroger.com, and you can either put our number in, which is 21490, again, 21490, or type in We Are Survivors and connect with our group, then each quarter we will get a donation sent to us from Kroger's. We also do the Tum Thumb Rewards Program. If you go to tumthumb.com and print the form, or we can send you one of the forms, which has our number on there, but our number for Tum Thumb is 13451, again, 13451, and we'll be happy to, you know, get your form turned in for you, or you can turn it in as well, and you'll be linked to us, and they'll do a donation. We also do the CPN discount card, which is $15. You get discounts all over the U.S. For a whole year. We do Compass Bank. If you have a Compass Bank account, if you link it to We Are Survivors, our code for them is 113631. Again, 113631. Then each time you use your card, they will give us a donation, as well as if you don't have an account with them and you sign up with them and you link it to We Are Survivors, then we'll also receive a donation from them. And those are currently our fundraisers that we do. Back to you, Wanda.
Thank you. Well, today we are going to do something a little different. Decided to open up all the lines, so if you're on the line and you're listening, I'm going to, as we say, make your mic live. So if you have a lot of background noise or in an area where there is noise, please put your phone on mute if you're not speaking, because not everyone that has called in is live on the radio show. So what we're going to do today is just have an open discussion. Any questions that someone may have, if someone has a story that they want to tell, feel free to acknowledge yourself and let God use you and share your story. If there's anything, a question, if we have questions of our own that we're going to, of course, ask, and of course we have our answers, and if you want to chime in to that, feel free. So today it's not any type of structure. It's not we're interviewing one particular person. We're going to do this more often and include the community, people who have something to say. I know a lot of times our shows, our speakers, we talk a lot and don't get the listeners don't get an opportunity to say much or ask questions. So this session is going to be all about the listeners. So I want to welcome everyone that is on. And like I said, you are live. And feel free, if you want to introduce yourself or say anything, go for it. Is there anybody want to say anything right now? Okay, everybody's quiet. Not a problem.
This is Tika, and I want to say I'm excited to listen and tune into you ladies tonight. Thanking you ladies for bringing awareness to a lot of us, because some of us stay closed up in a closet, and I actually am one of those persons who keeps the skeletons in the closet, and this can bring some help to some of us who need to tell our story, need to talk about it, to get past it and seek help. And others, and understand that there's other ladies who's struggling out there with this, and that we're not alone. So I just want to thank you ladies for having the courage to stand up and speak out about it. God bless you both.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
And, you know, you said something. There are a lot of us that are in the closet because, honestly, if God wouldn't have told me to be transparent, I'd still be one of those women. And it's amazing that once you show yourself, become open, begin to speak about it, it brings other women out. And I don't know if it is something that they can see in us, but it's like once you begin to step out on faith and actually begin to talk about it, then it is amazing how many women are drawn to you. And so the first question that I have is, what is domestic violence? And after doing some research, what I came up with, of course, is domestic violence, it takes many forms. It can be physical, psychological, economic, sexual, emotional, and often it can be a combination of several of these. And it includes forms of violence, controlling behavior such as physical assault, sexual abuse, rape, threats, intimidation, harassment, humiliation, controlling behavior, withholding of finances, economic manipulation, deprivation, isolation, belittling, and constant unreasonable criticism. Domestic violence is one element in the overall issue of violence against women, which includes, among other crimes, murder, rape, sexual assault, trafficking, sexual stalking, and sexual harassment. That is a huge definition of domestic violence. And domestic violence is intentionally used to it's persistent abusive behavior, which is based on an unequal position of power and control. So domestic violence can include a range of behaviors used by one person to control another with whom they have had or had a close or a family relationship. That was a mouthful. But that... And domestic violence can often occurs over a period of time. Victims of domestic violence will experience a range of emotions, including fear, reluctancy, uncertainty, worry, stress. And as some of us do know from personal experiences, domestic violence can and will impact a person's self-esteem and confidence, and all of which can make leaving an abusive relationship a frightening step. And I have a lot of people that, you know, I speak to them, they ask, well, if you know somebody that's in an abusive situation, and, you know, how can you help them? And a lot of people always want to ask a person, why are you still there? And I always inform people that
when you know someone, instead of asking them why, you just simply ask them, how can I help you? And mm-hmm. I think because people who haven't experienced domestic violence really don't understand what that person is going through. Anybody have anything to add to that?
Well, all that you just said is very, very true. And then some people that think that they haven't experienced it actually have experienced it, but they're just not knowledgeable enough to know what all is considered domestic violence or abuse. So I'm so glad that you mentioned several levels or several types so that, you know, people can be more aware.
And that's true. I was somewhere, and one of the young ladies said, well, he just pushed me. So she didn't consider that to be domestic violence. Or he just yells at me every once in a while because I didn't do something. So then when she kept talking, and from the way the verbal abuse from him yelling at her and how it made her feel, to the point that sometimes when he would get ready to say something, she would tense up because she was afraid of how it was going to come out. And from the conversation, that's when she actually realized, wow, I am being verbally abused. And I was like, yes, that's what that is. So you're right, Stephanie. A lot of people don't really realize what domestic violence is and all the different levels that it consists of.
Right. It can easily be misconstrued because, like, sometimes people that are controlling, they may do things like bias things, you know. And mm-hmm. if you're not used to buying things or you're used to being the one to buy things, then, you know, a lot of times you say, oh, well, that's nice. He's just being nice. Not really realizing that is actually a form of control, you know. Somebody buying your clothes,
yeah.
somebody buying your clothes out all the time, you know, somebody always picking the place for you to go. All of that is a form of control, even though it may seem nice, but it actually, when you look at it, it's a form of control, and a lot of people don't even realize it.
You're right. And I do want to, I will keep saying throughout the show as we get new callers on that your mic is live, so you are actually live on the phone. Feel free to chime in with any comments or questions that you may have. And if you're in a loud place, make sure that you put your phone on mute because the recording picks up every sound, including a blinker in a car. It picks it up. So I'll probably say it throughout the show as we have people that come on.
And don't be scared to speak up. If you don't want to say your name, you don't have to say your name. If you want to say your name, feel free to speak up and say your name.
Well, hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad that you have this discussion going on right now. And I have been a victim of domestic abuse, and I'm going to give you I'm going to try to be as quick as I can because I know we only have an hour. But I married young, moved from Texas to Pennsylvania, lived with my husband and his father and his wife and two sisters. And my husband abused me just about every day I was there. Not only did he abuse me, but his wife, his mother abused me. Not only the mother, but the father attempted sexual abuse.
Wow.
It was an ongoing thing. Today, I miscarried a child. It was from the abuse. It was really truly through the grace of God that I got myself extricated from that situation. But it was a learning curve for me to teach me that I'm of worth. I'm a woman of worth,
mm-hmm.
and I don't deserve to be abused in any capacity.
Can you repeat that? What you just said, because a lot of women don't realize that.
It took the grace of God to let me understand that I'm not here to be a victim, to be beaten on, to be abused. I am a woman worth, and I know that. And I get myself out of that situation. Did I look back? No, ma'am. But I vowed to myself and to my God that I would never allow myself to fall victim to that again. I pay attention to how this man, any man that comes into my life, comes at me, how he approaches me, how he approaches other women, how he interacts with other people. And that taught
very
me
important.
Why. If he cannot be respectful to his own mother, then it's something I need to look at. Even if he's abusive to an animal, that's something that you look at. Those are warning signs that he's not going to be very good to you if he can't even kind enough to just a dumb animal. So
right.
I can pay attention to those things. When you know that you are better and above any animal on this place, on this first face of the earth, you got to know that you're better than that. You do not deserve or mental abuse, verbal abuse, any kind of abuse, however subtle it is. It starts subtle, but it continues and it grows and it festers and it makes you look at yourself. But you were the same person before, so why can't you be the same again? So I'm just saying this, ladies, to be encouraged. Keep it with the Lord. Talk to your sisters. Seek help in every venue you can. And be prepared to walk away and don't look back. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you
much
so much for sharing.
You're quiet.
And, you know, you said something. When you said the animals, which is, I love when we hear and talk to women, because and Stephanie knows, I always say we are actually all on the same journey, but we're taking different paths to get to the same destination. And when you said about the animals, you know, that's how they even can tell when someone is going to be a serial killer, you know, they start out with animals. They start out harming animals. They start out killing animals. And you're right. If you are with someone that mistreats an animal of such, and something that's so helpless, then that person, there's some flags and some tendencies that, yes, you're right, you might need to evaluate, because a lot of psychologists, that's what they say about serial killers. When they go back and they, you know, talk to these people, they were harming animals at a young age.
Yes.
Thank you. That was very interesting. I never even thought about that. Now, a lot of people ask, like, who can experience domestic violence? And the truth of the matter is anyone can experience domestic violence. Domestic violence occurs across all groups in society, regardless of age, gender, race, religion, sexuality, wealth, or even where you live. The majority of victims are women and children. Also, they're doing a lot more research and finding out that there are a lot of male victims. Like, it's male, you know, the fact that you come out and say that a woman is beating you up, used to be cops would look at you and laugh like, really, you're the man. But there are male survivors of domestic violence. And I went to a meeting at City Hall this past Friday. It was a domestic violence meeting. And come to find out, there's already a shortage of shelters for women, but there is not a shelter that caters to male survivors. Not a one.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting to me. So that is something, you know, that someone also needs to look into, because there are male survivors. They're just afraid to come forth because of the way people or society will look at them and be like, really? But there are some women, you know, that are abusers, unfortunately. So that is something that people are now starting to pay attention to. They also, one of the discussions was domestic violence and same-sex relationships. Another topic that people don't like to talk about, but it's, you know, it's part of what's going on in the world today. And those types of relationships also deal with domestic violence. And so we really, you know, as a human race, bottom line is to be able to help individuals that need help. And for me, being a survivor of domestic violence, my heart is in it 100% to help women and children that need help. I went to, we as survivors have empowerment classes in a transitional home for homeless pregnant women and children under six. And so I was there Monday and was talking to a young lady, and her spirit, even though she was in this transitional home and her little girl was three and she was pregnant, and we were talking, you know, explaining, you know, going through how she got to this point in her life and her goals, and she said her dreams that she had pushed them aside. She's 22 years old and already has an associate's degree. She already knows what she wants to do in life. And it was just amazing to me that for her, the reason why she winded up where she was at, because the father of her two children, once he found out she was pregnant with her second child, he was already a manipulator, but he told her that she had to get an abortion. She chose her baby's life over having a roof over her head and leaving that situation. And I commended her, because a lot of women, you know, would have kind of been like, okay, can we talk this, you know, let's talk about it. She said she didn't even discuss it. She just left and had no place to go. And I told her her strength, as I sat there and talked to her and looked at the cross that she had on her neck, her strength, and she'll tell you it's all through the grace of God. So that's something else I wanted to bring up when you say that women, you know, you have to trust and you have to believe and you have to have faith and you have to pray and believe in God, because God takes us through some things in our lives to bring us out on the other side so that we will have a testimony and give him all the glory and be able to help other people. And that's one of the things that the young lady said. She said she knows she's going through what she's going through to be able to help other women. And I thought that was really powerful. Mm-hmm. Anyone have any questions or any you know, comments or thoughts? Here's one good one. What are the effects of domestic violence? Does anybody have any comments about, like, how it affected you personally? You might want to share. Awesome people. Well, I know the effects are, they differ for all victims. In some cases, the impact of domestic violence can be fatal. The obvious physical effects of domestic violence can include physical injuries such as cuts, bruising, broken bones, etc. What is often not so obvious is the emotional suffering, and that is significant. Because you can walk around here with a smile on your face, but be torn up on the inside. And emotional suffering, you know, occurs from a direct result of domestic violence. And such emotional suffering can be devastating and have devastating effects on a victim, short-term and long-term. Victims of domestic violence will experience a range of emotions, including fear, confusion, uncertainty, worry for their children. I know for me, I'm a mother, and she will be 23 in January. And I want to say I was one of those overbearing, overprotective moms. I was. Mm-hmm. And I didn't actually get to explain to her why I was the way I was until this, it'll be a year this month, Thanksgiving, when I actually sat down and had this conversation with my daughter to let her know what I had went through and what I had experienced. And by me doing that, then she was like, wow, Mom, I didn't know. But because of what I went through, I was extremely, extremely overbearing and protective of my child. It can cause anxiety, which makes it difficult to leave relationships. It can make it difficult to even be in a relationship. Research has shown that, you know, domestic violence causes lasting damage to a victim's physical and mental health, affecting them in all areas of their life, including work, relationships, social life, confidence, self-esteem, and recovering from the impact of domestic violence is a process which can be long and a very painful journey. So,
I would call all that you just said post-traumatic stress disorder. That's exactly what it is. If you're in the military, you would understand it, and if you're not, it's still a prevalent fact that women who are coming out of a domestic violence situation suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder years.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, so military people, they can go and get help with that. We as women have survived, get to have that luxury. We have no medical place to go where they can diagnose us for that, but it is a fact that that is what we suffer from, mentally and physically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I can vouch for that. For me, my post-traumatic, when I was diagnosed with it, it actually, what happened to me was I was being sexually harassed at work by my boss. And he was of the African descent. And I worked under him for 4 months, and I went through the proper channels at work and HR. They interviewed me, him, the staff. And what they came back with, and what he did was he rubbed his penis up against my butt. That was what did it. But what HR told me was it was a conflict, a misunderstanding because of our upbringing. And I kind of looked at them, and I'm like, I don't care what country you're from. We all know what sexual innuendos are. We know what that meant. That's not something that you would misunderstand, not to mention all the comments and things that had led up to that. So, of course, after went through HR, now he's angry because how dare you call HR? I'm your boss. So I went through the verbal. It was so bad that I even called the city that I worked in. I called the police, filed a sexual assault charge on him. I went, since, okay, my job is not going to help me, I filed a criminal charge and even sued the company. And with the post-traumatic syndrome, because even when I was in the situation, I was so tense that I couldn't even turn my neck. I so much stress. But my attorney sent me to talk to someone. And it was so bad that if I was in a room and would hear a man with that African dialect talk, I would lose it. So it became a point where when I saw one of them, like, come in the room or come towards me doing something, because I was afraid of them saying something, not just to me, but to anyone, and that feeling of being sexually assaulted again would come over me. So that post-traumatic syndrome, I've experienced it, and it is real.
It sure is.
Yeah, it's real. Because I saw every time I heard that dialect that he was touching me again. That I just felt violated over. I could be in a grocery store and hear on another aisle and had to walk to my car. Like, it just, wow, yes. Post-traumatic, that is something really serious. And if anyone experiences that, they really do need to go talk to someone to talk that out. I know one of the other questions was, what causes domestic violence? And domestic violence is a deeply rooted, it's an issue of power control. There are many myths about what surrounds domestic violence, including it's caused by alcohol or drug misuse, mental illness, early experiences of violence or abuse. But the reality is, really bottom line is, it's really caused by a misuse of power by one person over another. Mm-hmm. And its behavior is always a choice, and those who want to, for whatever reason, gain control. Now, I kind of agree with that, and then I also want to, the part where it says it's early experiences of violence or abuse, I don't think that's a myth, because I honestly believe that as a child, you know, you are a product of your environment. So if you're raised with a silver spoon in your mouth, when you get older, you're going to expect those same type of perks. If you are in a household where your father, if you're a young boy and your father is screaming and yelling and hitting your mom and your mother is staying there, you have been exposed to that type of life. So when you get older, if you don't make a mental decision, a conscious decision to say, okay, that's not right, you're going to repeat what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with young ladies who are in an abusive home and their mom takes it and doesn't, you know, do anything or change, then that young lady grows up thinking that that's a normal way of being in a relationship. I didn't find out until my walk that my mother, which explains a lot of why my mother didn't protect me or stand up for me, or when I did go to her, or when she did see it for herself, turned away from it. Because my father was also abusing her. So I know she was afraid for herself, and because she was trying to protect herself, she really didn't know how to protect her child. Mm-hmm. So I think, too, sometimes, you know, being brought up in situations like that, you repeat what you see.
Yeah. And like statistics say that if you are a product from a family of domestic violence, then you fall into that same category, which my dad was abusive. And I really feel for my kids because my dad was abusive, their dad was abusive, and it was in their family, whether their family shares it or not, it was in their family. So they, my kids have it on both sides of the family. Now, it's not that you can always see that in a person up front. Mm-hmm. I missed a whole lot of signs. I remember in high school one time my ex-husband slapped me. We started dating in ninth grade. So I remember one time in high school, though, he slapped me. Now, a lot of people wouldn't look at a slap as, okay, that's a sign. That's why I missed that sign. But now when I look back on a different thing, that was actually a sign. You know, like they say, if a person does it once, 9 times out of 10, they'll do it again. And later on, you know, he did that and even worse. You know, I'm also one of those that I have something that from the abuse that he's done, it's going to affect me for the rest of my life. So when you were making those statements earlier, that is very true. You know, they sometimes do things that, you know, affects people for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely want to help as many people as I can to get out the situation. If I can prevent somebody from going through what I went through, then I have, you know, I've made progress. So we just have to really continue to reach out and educate and, you know, try to pull in everybody that we can, you know, get them to listen. You know, whether it's somebody on here that's been through it or they have not been through it, just by them listening, they can go and share it with somebody else. And, you know, one by one, we can change it.
That is so true. And someone's phone is picking up background noise. So if you're not speaking, if you can please mute your phone, because it's like you're washing dishes. another question that I hear a lot and is, my goodness, why don't they leave? You hear that all the time. Oh. And leaving an abusive situation is a very long and difficult process for some. For some mm-hmm. people, the initial slap hit, they're out of there. But for some people, they feel frightened and uncertain about what the future will hold because mm-hmm. you got to think about it. A lot of times, that's that person's sole provider. So if they're dependent on them for everything, then, you know, what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? They feel frightened for the children. Go ahead.
And then also you have the abusers that constantly, they do something, then, oh, I'm sorry, I won't ever do that again. I experienced that for a while, you know. And, you know, finally it's like, okay, girl, wake up. That's an excuse. When he does something, mm-hmm. he always hollers, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to do that, you know. Or you have some people that, you know, push it and try to make it seem like it's your fault, like you're doing something wrong. And you not really realizing, you're thinking, oh, dang, what am I doing wrong? When it's really not you. But they'll try to put
right.
it on you. But mm-hmm.
And then, you know, which they feel frightened for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling to the children. And this is what, this is a lot of women. We feel mm-hmm. it is in the children's best interest to stay in the family home.
Mm-hmm. Now, for me, I was the first one married out of my sisters, and I wanted, you know, I didn't want to hear, I told you so. You know, I wanted my kids to have their mom and their dad because I didn't have mm-hmm. my mom and my dad in my household on a regular basis. You know, it was only a short period of time that my mom and my dad were in the same household that, you know, that I can remember. And I wanted to give my kids something different. So I chose to stay in it longer, way longer than I should have, because
mm-hmm.
thinking, oh, it's better. Sometimes we often think we can change a person. You know, you can't always change a person. They have to
right.
want to change. If they don't want to change, you cannot change them. So if you see those signs and they're not willing to change, make the right decision.
That is so true.
There's one more thing that I think some, I don't know, the age group that's on the phone, but there's another thing that we should definitely look at, and that is the fact that right now it's too much stuff out there glorifying, you know, putting down a woman, putting
mm-hmm.
down her, how she is or who she is, being termed B's and H's and they accept it. They think that this is supposed to be the natural thing. It's not. And that's been going on now for at least years. So when you looking at this on TV and you think it's all okay, they get it in their mind that it is, and it's not. And there is a different way. So
mm-hmm.
it's going to come down to whether or not you accept your role as your helpmate, if he's providing like he's supposed to, or if he's literally abusing you by glorifying something that he sees on a BET video. So it just comes down to being yourself, and it's an esteem thing. You can walk away if you choose to not accept that you are less than, but equal to this. And if he's beating or doing things of that nature, or children, that would be my first sign to walk away because of the children. The last thing you want to do is instill in their mind that this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not normal.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
wait.
But I do
and
have
I,
a question.
Go ahead.
Question is, when you say it, it posed a question about what do you do? What do you do? How do you walk away? Who do you go to? Who can you tell? Who can you trust that it won't come back to cause more conflict in that house?
Okay, I have an answer for you, but I'm going to also once again acknowledge that we do have some more callers on that your phone, your mic live, so feel free to chime in with any questions or comments. If you're not speaking, please make sure your phone is on mute because it does pick up everything in the background. For someone, I believe that there is going to be a person that you can trust. And I always, my thing with people is someone that is close to you, that knows you, they, because you know there's someone in your life. If there's not someone in your life that, like a family member or friend that you can trust, then there's got to be, you know, maybe a supervisor, a coworker. It's because someone that's in your life that you feel secure enough with that you can actually trust. Because my thing is, when I tell people, even with like family members, people that are close to you can tell there's something different, that there's something going on. And they may give signs to you, or if we stop and think about, sometimes your family members will question you without coming out just directly asking you. And so when you're at a point where you want help but you're afraid because of the repercussions that might occur if you tell someone, I would tell someone to stop and try to analyze. Have someone in the past try to reach out to you, but because of what you were going through, you really wasn't ready to receive it. And my answer to a lot of things, too, is pray to God to have God reveal someone to you. To, okay, God, you know I'm ready. Lord, who can I trust? Because that is very important. Because you can tell someone and it be the wrong person to tell because it can backfire on you. But I really think if there's not someone that's within your personal circle that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you can trust, someone that hasn't already tried to let you know that they're there for you, if you're working, if there's maybe someone at your job, a lot of times, for instance, they have helplines, HR, for people that are going through things, and you can contact them to talk to someone that is neutral, that doesn't even know you, that can help you. A lot of times they have helplines. Even with that, every county and even the government, they have hotlines for someone to call in case you don't have someone that you can personally turn to or someone that's tangible. There are hotlines that you can contact and call for help, letting people know that you're in a situation and you need help. 211 for Dallas County. You know, someone there can actually help you and try to guide you if you are ready to leave and go into a shelter, or if you just need someone to talk to. 211 is a great way to, you know, get in contact with someone if you don't have that personal relationship with someone. Even with We Are Survivors, I mean, go ahead. What I was going to say is, since we're talking about this, anybody listening to this, because we often put this on Facebook and different things, so it may be somebody listening to this on a different day from now, but they can call either one of us. My name's Stephanie, and if you want to call me, my number is 817-320-2571. I'd be happy to listen, try to direct you in the right way. Wanda, you're welcome to give your information out.
Yes, you know. And We Are Survivors number is 214-454-2933. Even if you want to just email us, our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. We're also here to help. We, you know, receive phone calls, and we will do our best to get you out of the situation, find you somewhere to be that's safe, and go from there. So there's a lot of different, you know, organizations out here. If you don't feel
unless you have someone personally in your life.
Yeah, so this just shows you there is help. You just have to reach out and, you know, and ask for it. So seek help. Because if you have to go outside of your family, there are individuals and women like ourselves that are here to help. And for us, there's no judgment. Because, you know, no man can judge another. But even with saying that, because we are survivors, because we've been in that situation, once again, our journeys are the same, but our paths may be different. We can relate to what you're going through. So we're going to be even more compelled to help, more eager, more persistent to make sure that the individual will get to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why people choose not to leave is because they are ashamed and they are reluctant to seek help, because a lot of people don't know where to turn. They don't know that there are resources available. I found out Friday, Parkland Hospital has a very intense and dynamic domestic violence assistance program. So a lot of people, they have their own separate entity, and they are available 24 hours, 7 days a week. They have counselors. They have, you know, connections and resources for shelter and all different types of things. And a lot of people, I didn't know until Friday that Parkland had all of these resources available. So Parkland Hospital is an excellent avenue as well. That so a lot of people in the community don't even realize that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, they don't leave because they feel isolated from families. That's one thing an abuser will do, is pull you away from your family. It was really easy for my father to do that because my father was in the military, and we traveled a lot. So for Christmas, our grandmother had to actually send us our Christmas gifts in the mail. We were stationed in California, majority of my father's Navy stay. And I now, as an adult, because I remember one year we got some skates. And, you know, skates are heavy. And back then, they weighed everything. So I thought, as an adult, like, you know, think about my childhood. It's like my grandmother probably paid more to have those things shipped than she actually paid for the skates. But my dad, you know, made sure that his family was isolated, because I can't name you. My dad has four brothers, and I cannot name any of my first cousins' names. I couldn't tell you what they are. They could knock at my door today, and I couldn't tell you who they are, because my dad kept us away from everyone. And he still is that way, where he isolated us from our family to the point we don't even know who they are. I know some people are, it's their financial security. When I was in my marriage, I was a breadwinner, but I had to get permission to buy a pack of gum. But it was my money. And I had to explain where every penny, every dime was spent. And I didn't realize how that affected me and how that impacted me into my current relationship. I would get so defensive and so angry if you asked me about my money. And it didn't dawn on me until a couple of months ago why I was that way. I would get so angry that I would literally start, like, sweating. Like, how dare you? And it could be something simple, a simple question about money. But because of the financial abuse I went through, I would be ready to fight you if you asked me about a dime of my money. So abuse, even, it's amazing how some things lie dormant and then something to trigger. And then if we don't stop and try to think about why am I reacting this way, this walk that God has me on now has me, when I react a certain way or I say something, I stop and I think, why? Okay,
dear God, why am I acting this way? What triggered? Because a lot of my memories were suppressed. So a lot of my childhood has a whole bunch of holes in it. So I pray, I'm like, okay, God, reveal to me what is it and why am I responding this way? Now I want to know, when before, I really didn't care who perceived me, how you perceived me, if you liked me, I didn't care. Now I want to know why. And abuse, it is a mind and life controlling, it's a thing, because it just takes over your way of thinking, your way of life, your decision making, the way you accept things, receive things. It is, oh my goodness. It's a life changing, and it can alter everything about you as a person. And a lot of times it's really too exhausting to make life changes or major decisions. It's another reason why people stay in abusive situations.
Mm-hmm. I always share with people, please, if you know someone that's in an abusive situation, don't ask them, why don't you leave? Just never ask someone, why don't you leave? It is a process to get out of an abusive situation. There's a safe way to do it, and we'll have to actually, one day on the show, go through those processes, because there's a step for someone to leave an abusive situation as far as like getting your important documentation out of the house, you know, having that one person that you can trust, changing, you know, eventually slowly but surely, you know, getting your P.O. box. It's like different things to prepare yourself for that major life-changing event, because it is very much a life-changing event. A lot of people have asked, how can I support a friend or family member who is experiencing domestic violence? And as I've stated, you know, if you have trust in a friend, that's most important. You can be there. Let them know that you are there for them no matter what. I always say keep your lines of communication open and let them know that they can contact you at any time. That phone call may come at 1 o'clock p.m. It can come at 1 o'clock a.m. Long as your family member or friend know that you're there for them, once again, don't judge. Friday at the meeting we discussed this. Don't get frustrated with your friend if they're not ready to leave the abuse situation. The decision has to be theirs and theirs alone. Just be supportive with their choices. A young lady said her niece, and she teared up as she was talking about it. She said because her niece is in a very abusive situation, and what she does is her niece will call her and be like, aunt, I'm ready. So they have this plan worked out. But then when her aunt gets there, oh, I need to go get this, and I need to go get that. I need some boxes for this. I need some boxes for that. So she does this procrastination thing. And like I explained to this woman, just go with her. Just go get the box. Whatever it is that she needs, what she's doing is she's building up the strength. Because she is motivating herself. She knows this is something she has to do. She doesn't quite have the strength to do it yet. But just be there when she calls. Just answer. Just if she needs you to go pick her up, just be there. Reassure your friend and your family member that they're not to blame for the violence. Reassure them that it's not their fault and that they do not, like you said earlier, listener, they don't deserve to be treated like this. Get support. Find out what is available for your friend or family member and share it with them. Encourage them to access support that is available. You know, ensure that they have emergency phone numbers and contact, you know, details about organizations that can help, like we explained, talked about that a minute ago. You know, let them know that there is a 24-hour domestic and sexual violence helpline. You know, each state has it. The government has one, you know, and also, like I said a minute ago, talk through options.
talk to your friend and your family about the abuse and explore options and choices only if they're ready, because you can't force someone. Even though you know it's time, you want them to leave, they have to be ready. They have to be certain that it is their time to leave. Because if you get someone out of an abusive situation on your terms and not theirs, there's a high percentage that the person is going to go back because it was not done on their terms. So a lot of times, men and women that have not gone through abusive situations, they don't understand. Just be there. Just show yourself there, open. Show yourself willing to go that extra mile for them and not be judgmental and not question them, unless the questions are to help them and get them out of that situation. Because someone that's in an abusive situation doesn't need 10,000 questions and they feel like you're verbally beating them down because you don't understand why they're making the decisions that they're making. So, perpetrator violence, it is a very touchy situation. I know in the African-American community, as I always say, you know, we were brought up what goes in my house stays in my house. I want women to know that that is not true. When it comes to domestic violence, we need you and want you to speak up. We want you to know that there is help. We want you to know there are other women that are experiencing or have experienced what you are experiencing. There are women out here that are your next door neighbors, that you may sit next to them at work, maybe a family member, and are going through things, and you just never know. But I just want women to know that, you know, we are out here and we are striving to change laws. We're striving to get more resources available in Dallas County, because there are not enough resources in Dallas County. And I found out Friday that we used to be able to call Tarrant County for placement for women in Dallas County. Now, Tarrant County won't even accept women from Dallas County because they need the room. So it's more and more women are coming out. But we need more resources and more availability for the women that want to come out and that are coming out. Does anybody have anything to add?
When you said that, you know, we need more resource and everything, which is another reason why we do fundraisers, because there is a great need for us to be able to, you know, put people in a different place, get them in a safe place, et cetera. So, you know, anybody listening that, you know, will support us and, you know, in one of our fundraisers, it is needed, because a lot of the places, the transition places, they don't have room. So there is a shortage. So in order for us to, you know, open more doors and place people and continue to be able to place people, we need everyone's support. I would say, I don't know anybody right now that can have too much support, because there is such a shortage right now. So, you know, anybody that, you know, is willing to support and, you know, donate, you know, we really need your help.
Well, I appreciate that, Stephanie. That is so true. This hour has flown by. I really have enjoyed our first Opal open panel discussion, and I think we're going to try and make this a monthly thing, get more women involved, and come together as a community to help other women and to let other women know that they are not alone and that we are here to help. Feel free to contact me and or Stephanie with any questions or comments and survivor stories. We do write publications. We have 3 publications that we do currently write for, and one is actually out of Finland in Nigeria. So we're always looking for survivor stories. The direct number to the organization is 214-454-2933. Stephanie has given hers as well. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. And I want to thank God for you listening and participating this week. I pray that today on the show something was said that touches your heart. We are here to help, to support, to guide, to listen, and to lift you up. In the name of Jesus, we will always worship his holy name. God bless everyone. Thank you for listening.